I mean, a dream come true. You know, it kind of you thought getting drafted, or you thought going to college and playing football was a dream come true, and then you get a chance to go get drafted, and now I get a chance to do this and sign a second contract with the Jacksonville Jaguars, and you know, the team that I want to play for and the place I want to be. And I mean, it's tough to put into words, you know, outside of just being a dream come true and, you know, extremely incredible.
Blake Bortles, Blake Bortles, Blake Bortles. That's going to be the main topic of the latest edition of Locked On Jaguars. I am your host, Zach Goodall. Be sure to follow me on Twitter at Zach underscore Goodall, as well as my co-host, Chris Thornton at Misto Cristofo. Of course, the Locked On Jaguars handle as well at Locked On Jaguars. Subscribe on iTunes, leave those ratings and reviews. We've gotten a lot more pouring in. Really grateful for everyone who is enjoying the show and leaving a note there for us. Be sure, like I said, also check out the website at lockedonjaguars.com. You can hear us on Spotify and Megaphone as well. Chris, so we've got some big news that shook up a lot of Jaguars Twitter yesterday, rightfully so. The Jaguars have extended quarterback Blake Bortles on a 3-year, $54 million deal. And a lot of people freaked out because they figured that they wanted the team to move on and find a total new upgrade. And a lot of people get why it happened. You and I are definitely in the latter when it comes to this. We understand the contract. I actually appreciate the contract for what it's worth. I figured he'd be here anyway, so might as well do it in a team-friendly manner. Go ahead and start giving us your thoughts on this deal before we start getting into exactly what it does, cap-wise, and what it means for the team's future.
I mean, if you guys listened to our episode with Brent Martineau last week, you would have kind of seen that maybe the writing was kind of on the wall that Blake might be coming back. But I think it's a fantastic deal for both Blake Bortles and the Jacksonville Jaguars. You have a guy like Blake Bortles who did lead this team to an AFC championship and was basically one catch away from a Super Bowl. And just the Blake has demonstrated and showed that he wants to be here in Jacksonville. And I think you can tell with his interview afterwards that he was really excited to come back to Jacksonville. There was obviously a lot more things that need to happen, I think, after this deal. And I think a lot more things can happen now because of this deal. And we'll obviously talk about that a little more when we dive into the numbers.
And I think that's exactly what we will do next. So like I said, this contract is a 3-year, $54 million deal. It completely, totally negates the option that they picked up last offseason that would have guaranteed him 19.053, whatever the exact figures were, $1 million on this option. His cap hit will no longer be $19 million in 2018. It is now down to $10 million, clearing about $9 million extra dollars worth of cap room to spend on a guy maybe like Allen Robinson, maybe on a free agent guard or Trey Burton. The options are now there for them to have a little bit more fun in free agency and spending money, if you know what I mean. And they very well might not. This could be a long-term thing to secure that they're paying these guys on defense. I would personally figure that this money will be used immediately to keep this team's window open a little longer. Chris, you've got a much more thorough breakdown on the cap numbers. I like to think that I've got cap stuff pretty much figured out, but you are my money guy. So go ahead and start breaking down this contract year by year and how it benefits the Jaguars.
All right, so when this deal first came out, nobody really knew what the cap figures and stuff were going to be like. And then Ian Rappaport and Adam Schefter, but mainly Ian Rappaport, came out this morning and kind of gave us a little clarity, stating that $20 million comes in the first year, up from the $19 million. All $26.5 million is guaranteed at signing. And then his cap number is going to be a decently affordable $16 million. But the biggest thing that I think people kind of looked at first was the incentives. And one of his incentives is if he gets Super Bowl MVP, it could make this contract go up to $66.5 mil. But I talked to a cap guy that's both a friend to the podcast and Zach and I, Brian Phillips. You can find him on Twitter at bphillips_sb. And I asked him, I was like, Brian, with your cap expertise, what do you think this contract is going to look like? And he was able to give me a nice little chart that I tweeted out this morning if you wanted to see that. We also tweeted it on the Locked On Jaguars page. But for this year, for 2018, it's looking like he's going to get $5 million in salary and $5 million in signing bonus prorations, which gives him $10 million. Next year, he's going to be making $11 million in salary, 6.5 of that of which is going to be guaranteed, with another $5 million signing bonus, making him have a $16 million cap hit. And then in the final year of his deal, he's going to have a $28 million cap hit, with 23 of it being from salary and 5 years from being a signing bonus. Now, from what I've been told and by looking at the numbers, it sounds like, and a lot of people in the timeline have been arguing this, this is essentially a two-year deal where if after 2 years Blake is not your guy and your guy in the wings is ready to come in, you can cut Bortles with almost no cap, like dead cap. After the first year, you'll encounter $16.5 million in dead cap. But after 19, you either can cut him with almost no repercussions, or you have, if he is your guy, you have him on a very affordable $28 million, which, like Brian said, might be the eighth highest quarterback pay in the league at that point with the way quarterback contracts are. So that's just a little bit of the breakdown on how it looks like the contract is going to be slated and structured.
And even right now, looking at it in terms of average figures, not going into guarantees and cap hits, just assume that he's averaging $18 million a year, which technically he would be. That still ranks like 17th, 18th out of all quarterbacks in the NFL, and that's only going to be pushed further down with Kirk Cousins getting a bigger deal this offseason. Presumably A.J. McCarron, Case Keenum, maybe some other guys as well, so even if he is the starter long-term, if drafting a developmental guy doesn't really work out, or happen for that matter, if they truly view him as the guy, that's a cheap deal.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I think that was the biggest thing was, I mean, Blake came out, I don't have the word for word, but he was basically like, I'm not worried about the money, just get these guys re-signed. And I think Blake really is that guy that was willing to take a contract like this where he can prove it on himself and make a lot more money because of it. But this contract, I think, from both sides was to get the cap number lower from 19 so he can get guys back like Allen Robinson, hopefully, to fortify this offense as well as maybe make a run at possibly even a top-tier free agent. You might just get one, but they can make a run at an Andrew Norwell if they wanted to. But I think this deal really kind of helps everybody in the sense that you can build and save some money for the future to get homegrown guys locked up.
Definitely. And we can keep coming back in talking more about Blake, but that immediately means that they should throw their money at Allen Robinson, right? Whether that be the tag, because they can absorb his cap hit on a franchise tag much easier now, or, I mean, even if they give him some form of extension. And I don't know about other guys like Aaron Colvin or Marquise Lee. I still feel like you could draft their replacements and be totally fine, and that'll end up helping the cap a lot longer. But what do you think they should immediately do now that this is done?
Oh, I think their priority should immediately be talking to Allen Robinson's camps. After this deal, the Jaguars are slated to have around $33 million in cap space. And something was also brought up to me. Every year, the league's cap goes up. And if it's going by years past, the Jaguars should have another $13 million to play with. So now you're adding 13 on top of 33. You're looking at $46 million. The franchise tag for Allen Robinson would be about 16 to 17 mil. So you still have a decent amount of spending money, even if you tag him. But honestly, if I'm the Jaguars, I want to lock him up long term. And if you can get him on a 4-year deal, maybe front load it a little bit now that you have that extra cash for this year. That way you're not worrying about next year's cap rollover when you have to re-sign guys like Yannick Ngakoue, maybe even a Dante Fowler extension. Jalen Ramsey's coming into the picture.
Miles Jack,
you're going to have money if you can front load it maybe this year for a longer term deal with Allen Robinson, which 2 weeks ago we didn't think that was even remotely a possibility. I think you're the Jaguars. You have to do that. And I think that'd be by far the smartest move that they could do.
I have a feeling with this, because Blake is obviously a fan of Allen Robinson, and from the interviews that Mike Kay of First Coast News has been doing with Allen Robinson this week, Allen Robinson is a Blake Bortles fan. So I think if that mutually is there and you just paid the quarterback and you've got all this money, I think the absolute next thing they have to do is sign Allen Robinson. I actually wouldn't be shocked if by this upcoming week's end, Allen Robinson has a extension of some sort, whether that be the tag or whether that be a new deal, whatever they choose to do, do it. I personally would do the extension as well. I don't think his ACL is going to be much of a factor going forward.
Yeah, I mean,
such an easy injury to treat nowadays compared to in years past.
Yeah, 20 years ago, an ACL tear was like the death of an athlete. This time and age with the way medical stuff is going, an ACL tear, I mean, look at Allen Robinson. He tore his ACL in September, and here we are in almost March, and he's almost 100% running. So that's a big deal. Kind of looking back at the cap numbers, if you can get Allen Robinson, even on a tag, you're dropping down to roughly about $29 million. And let's say you don't spend another penny of that. That's going to roll over into next year's salary. And so now we're slated to have around 36 mil next year. So you have 36 plus your 29 rollover. You're looking at around $65 million going into next year, plus an increase in cap. That's a lot of money to be able to give to Miles Jack, Yannick Ngakoue, Jalen Ramsey, guys like that. And that's just off a tag. Obviously, you can have less or more depending on how you structure Allen Robinson. But this Blake Bortles deal, and then other moves like cutting Chris Ivory, and maybe even other moves if they restructure guys like Darius or Jackson, or even get rid of guys like Hearns, you're starting to have a very strong financial picture looking forward with a very strong Super Bowl window still very much open.
I think this is the best way that they can extend that window is to be financially smart. That's why, even though, you know, you don't hear too much about guys like John Idzik, or there's another name in there, another cap guy, I can't think of his name, in the front office. Like, don't take this kind of stuff for granted. This is going to be what keeps the team good for a long time, how they handle their money.
And that's why I was never in on the Kirk Cousins sweepstakes. Giving a guy like Kirk, yes, he statistically, and it probably is an upgrade over Bortles. You're giving Bortles is what, $10 million for his cap hit this year? If you're signing Kirk Cousins, you're giving him at least 30 this year. You're essentially eliminating any cap rollover from this year into next year, and you're losing guys like Allen Robinson, maybe even a guy like Colvin if you were to try bringing him back. So I think Kirk Cousins would have financially handcuffed this team this year, next year, and probably years to come. Even though, yes, the Jaguars probably would have structured it well, I think this is by far the most smart financial move that they could have done.
Speaking of years to come, not only is Blake Bortles going to be a Jaguar for a couple of years to come, so are executives Tom Coughlin and Dave Caldwell, as well as head coach Doug Marrone. They all inked extensions onto their deal to where they will all be here through 2021. Their contracts all run up at the same time, so they're totally in unison. That means they have 4 years under contract, 4 years for, let's call it, this rookie class. That means that they could do something like draft a backup to develop behind Bortles, considering Bortles, even though he does have a new flashy-looking deal, it is kind of a short-term deal compared to what quarterbacks are getting these days. They're getting the 5-year, 6-year deals with options at the end of it. Blake Bortles is up after 3 years, and this front office has 4 years. And that's kind of what the time frame given to develop a quarterback when guys are hired. If they're in need, if a team's in need of a quarterback, normally executives, coaches are given a 4-year deal to work with that guy.
Yeah.
Now I have no clue if they actually view Blake as 100% the guy. They don't care about other quarterbacks. I would like to think that they will draft a guy early, and I think this move kind of, you know, shows the possibility of them doing that. But do you think that's something that they'll look seriously into?
Oh, I think this contract was one of the most beautifully built bridge contracts you could possibly do. So it essentially, if you're looking at this deal, it can be looked as two ways. It can be looked as a 2-year deal with a 3rd-year option, essentially, where if Blake is playing phenomenal and he's like, maybe you win a ring with Blake, that 3rd year will easily be exercised and you have him for another year at a bargain of a deal. Or if Blake flops, you can get rid of him after that 2nd year and have 0 cap hit, and you hopefully have had a rookie in the wings for at least 2 years developing behind him. It's really the perfect side. It's the perfect deal for both sides, because if Blake is going, he also has those incentives that can also give him more money. And then, like I said, it's a win-win for both sides. Whatever side is doing well will continue to benefit, whereas the other side is obviously happy, because I doubt the front office is going to be mad having to pay Blake Bortles $28 million if he's winning them championships, whereas vice versa, if Blake knows that he hasn't been playing well, he still gets a lot of his money guaranteed up front, but the Jaguars can get rid of him and move on to the next day.
So what do you think they do come April 26th through 28th with addressing the first couple rounds of the draft? I'm assuming quarterback. I don't know if it's first round. It very well could be. I think this more says like waiting to the second round. If there's a guy they really like that's available mid-second round, maybe trade up for him, but not trading up in the first round whatsoever, because that's kind of like a – not a shot at Blake, but at the same – You know what I mean by that?
Yeah, I don't think
they'd trade up for a guy in the first, maybe in the second.
I think my mindset is still the same as it's been. I would bet my top dollar that they're going quarterback in the first, I'll say three rounds, but now maybe leaning more towards two and three.
That's what I'm thinking.
However, the draft is always a funny thing, because if a guy that you really like, let's say it's a quarterback, falls to you or falls more than you thought, like let's say they love Josh Rosen, and Josh Rosen, who is a consensus top 10 pick, let's say he somehow falls to like 18. It wouldn't surprise me if the Jags pull the trigger and trade it up for a guy like that. But I think they're going to probably stay put unless a guy like that falls, and they'll probably take best available quarterback. Unless they're, obviously, I don't know their draft board. I don't know what they're looking at. If their guy falls to 29, they'll take him. And then right. In the second or third round, you take best available quarterback prospect, whether it be a Lamar Jackson, a Kyle Lauletta, maybe even a Kurt Benkert or Mike White in the third round. I think there's going to be quarterback options, and I think by the end of day two, the Jaguars will have another quarterback on their roster.
I agree. I firmly agree. Well, then I figure that'll pretty much do it for us, unless you have any other notes regarding this extension. But this is big news out of Jacksonville, the biggest news that we've gotten this offseason besides the new uniforms.
We were able to command NFL Network for a whole night. Blake Bortles was able to have their attention all night long, which is something I didn't think we'd be talking about last year.
No, definitely not. But that'll just about do it for us here. I think we both agreed that this is... if you're not going after a Kirk Cousins or another guy, this is the best case scenario, because it benefits Blake. Blake is happy, the team is happy, and the team is better off financially than they would have been on the 1 year cap hit of Blake Bortles' option. And that should do it for us here. Be sure to check in with us tomorrow, as we're going to be joined by Matt Miller of Bleacher Report to talk about an ideal Jaguars 2018 NFL draft, some prospects he likes and doesn't like as a fits here, team needs, etc. As well as the end of the show will be a Bachelor season finale preview. Chris and Matt are both very much into that. I am not. I'm probably going to be on mute or disconnected by the end, but they're going to go at it. So if you guys are interested in that on top of your football, then this is the podcast for you. Be sure to check out the site at LockedOnJaguars.com. Follow the Twitter handle at LockedOnJaguars. Subscribe on iTunes. You can find us on Spotify and Megaphone as well. Follow Chris at Misto Cristofo and myself at Zach_Goodall for all of our work. And we will catch up with you tomorrow.